Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. We are so happy that you're here. My name is Annie Fry, along with my co-host Erica Murphy, talking today about Genie and Genie Plus. What is it? Is it complicated? Is it worth it? Erica, we've got a lot of answers to a lot of these questions for people today. And as a travel agent who books a lot of Disney World vacations, I bet Genie Plus comes up as a question quite a lot.
You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people don't know about it. So just another thing to advocate working with a travel agent. A lot of people don't even know it exists. So I think that probably happens more often than not, is explaining what it even is.
Well, if on the Pixie Dust podcast here, if you're interested in contacting Erica with your Genie Plus questions, you can contact her at erica@magicexpeditions.com. That's Erica with a K, E-R-I-K-A, @magicexpeditions.com. And she can help you answer some of the questions that we don't address here. And I got to be honest, as somebody who loves to plan and usually has at least one weekend or of summer trip plan with my family, and as a Genie Plus advocate that I am, I don't really want other people to know it, because I feel like if I keep it a secret, then I won't have to compete with it so much with other people. But since you're listening to the Pixie Dust podcast, and I care about you, we're going to let you know the details. So what, Erica, can you tell us just the premise of Genie Plus, and maybe even let's start with the most basic question, My Disney Experience. What's that?
So the My Disney Experience is going to be the platform that you use throughout your whole trip. And I find myself just, you know, browsing it even here without a trip, because you can see wait times. And so sometimes when you're having a rough day and you just want to see how long is the wait for Seven Dwarf Mine Train.
If I were in Magic Kingdom right now.
Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
And it just makes me a little happy. So you can download it now, even without a trip. Just get, you know, a little taste of the magic and download My Disney Experience. But it really is a useful tool while you're there. It's going to be your way that you're going to mobile order for your food. It's going to be the way that you view all of your plans. It's going to be the way that you make all of your plans. It's basically the hub of your vacation in the magic, someone say.
Yeah. And I mean, just like everything else, there's an app for Disney World. The app is called My Disney Experience, but if you are also on the Disney World website, you can access My Disney Experience from the website. So I said, in like a most basic level, My Disney Experience, I'm going to actually take it back even a little bit further, which is, if you are starting the planning process to go to Disney World, or if you've never done this before, you're going to want to go onto the Disney World website and create an account. Because all of this is going to be attached to your account. It's going to be how Erica, if she's working with you, helping you plan your vacation, she's going to be able to connect to your account and to help you with all of that.
So, and I will say that all of the Disney accounts kind of talk to each other. So if you already have like Disney Plus or ESPN, that password is going to be the same for your Disney account. So they talk to each other.
So does that mean they have a Disney account then already?
It does.
So if they have Disney Plus, their login for that is their Disney World account.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. That's really good information. So you have a plan. So you're one step closer to planning your Disney World vacation.
You are.
And you didn't even know it. So when you download the Disney app, it's called My Disney Experience. When you're planning your vacation, and we have done a couple episodes here in the reboot of the Pixie Dust podcast, we took a hiatus in September of 2020, and we have rejoined the conversation here in February of 2023. But one of the things that you are going to have to decide for yourself is how you're going to utilize the ability that Disney provides people to purchase to kind of plus up their vacation and to navigate your way around the park. There are different, there's Genie, Disney Genie, and there's Disney Genie Plus. Erica, what is important for people to know about Disney Genie before we get to Disney Genie Plus?
It's free. And it is encouraged to use.
That is the most important thing to say first.
The most important thing.
Free.
Yes.
Or as we like to say, included.
I was going to say, it is included, because nothing at Disney is free.
No, you're paying for it somewhere.
Yeah.
You may not have to hand over the buck when you use the service. So Genie is on the app. And Erica, what can Disney Genie do?
What can't Disney Genie do is the better imagine. It is, you know, everything. So you're going to even use it as your room key if you choose to opt out of Magic Bands, which is definitely an option. So you're going to have access to your park tickets. You're going to make all of your park reservations, your dining reservations. You're going to do all your mobile ordering while you are on property. This is also where you're going to get into the virtual queues, which, you know, I think that I'm just using a broad, for if you're a first time listener, you're probably like, what's a virtual queue? Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is that this app is going to be everything that you need while you're on property. If you need to know where a baby care center is, if you have a little one, it's going to be your park map. Need to know where the restrooms are, see what the parked, the wait times are, you know, everything is going to be in this Genie app. See where the transportation is. So literally it's like you're walking around with a cast member in your pocket.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, Erica is going to be able to help you walk through setting up a lot of this stuff before you go on your trip. And she's always accessible if she's helped you plan your trip to help you navigate while you are at Disney World. I am on the My Disney Experience app right now, signed into my account. And there's a section that says Get to Know Disney Genie Service. So if you're trying to familiarize yourself with some of these things before you go, which I highly recommend that you do, if you click on that button in My Disney Experience, Get to Know Disney Genie Service, it gives you these options: Meet Disney Genie Service, an overview, Tip Board, and My Day, how these two tabs help you plan, Lightning Lane Entrances, an introduction, Lightning Lane Entry, a la carte purchases, Lightning Lane Entry through Disney Genie Plus Service, and Disney Genie Plus Service, an overview of the service. So it's all the different things, because there is a difference between Disney Genie and Disney Genie Plus. Again, to highlight, Disney Genie is part of your app. It is there for you to use. You should utilize it if you're new to the whole service. I will say, if you're somebody who has gone before and you know the parks and you understand how these parks work, Disney Genie is very helpful suggesting things to people who may not know, like, what even are my options? Like, you might be more equipped to make a good decision for you if it says, here are some things that you could do right now, and these are the waits at these different attractions, or here's when how soon you can order at this quick service. And quick service means essentially, like, I kind of equate it to fast food, but I don't want you to simplify it in your head like you're only getting, like, cheeseburgers and fries. It's much more broad than that. It's just not a sit-down reservation. So Genie is there for you to utilize. It is included in your trip, and you can look at it right now once you download the My Disney Experience app on your phone, and then also you can check it out online on the website as well. Now, the Disney Genie Plus service, Erica, is an upgrade of the Disney Genie. What do you want people to know about Genie Plus?
So the Genie Plus is going to be your way to surpass the lines. So you're not going to have to stand in the hour and a half, 2 hour queue that may be for a certain attraction. The Genie Plus is going to give you access to a reservation for a certain amount of time, for an hour's span, to come back and view that attraction without waiting in the queue. So, for example, if you want to go see Thunder Mountain and you click that you want Genie Plus, you do have to pay for it per day. You don't have to per person. You do not have to get it for your whole stay. You can just do it day by day. But if you want to do it for Magic Kingdom, you want to book for Thunder Mountain, it'll say come back between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. You can go get breakfast, you can go see a show, and come back at 9 o'clock and have access to that lightning lane, to where you don't have to stand in the queue. You'll just be able to walk onto the attraction.
So a lot of people who might be familiar with old ways of Disney and how they have the service set up, FastPass might be something you've heard of before, or maybe something you've utilized before, whether it was paper FastPasses or the digital FastPasses. FastPasses do not exist anymore. FastPass lanes, which is kind of the bypass lane to get onto an attraction, some might say lightning fast, you go through the lightning lane right now. So you make lightning lane reservations with Genie Plus. And I'm trying to articulate the vocabulary that helps you be equipped to go through and have these conversations. As well versed as I am in this, I still end up calling it Disney Plus all the time, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, oh, I know better than this. But Genie Plus is the access that you get to book the lightning lanes. And then, as Erica was talking about when it comes to if you're going to book Thunder Mountain at 9 a.m., when you log on to select which, you know, if you're in Magic Kingdom, you're going to have the Magic Kingdom attractions that are available to you, and it's going to show you the next available time for all of the attractions. Mm-hmm. And FastPass was different. And again, to reiterate, we're recording this in mid-February of 2023. This could all change. And then we have to record a new one. And if that is the event, if we're far away from February 2023 when you're listening to this, look at future episodes. Gracias. Look at future episodes to see if we have Genie Plus, an update, because they do make updates to this service with some regularity as they're tweaking it and fine-tuning it. So if, at this time, when you're going through Genie Plus, you will see here are all the rides in Magic Kingdom that offer Lightning Lanes, and here's the next available one that you can book your reservation for. And then you can choose that time, or you can choose a different attraction, or you can refresh and see what comes up next. Mm-hmm. FastPass was different because you could scroll through and see like all of the available times for that particular ride. That is not how it works at the current time, February 2023. They'll probably change it tomorrow, of course. Right. So you do kind of have to go a little bit more like on the roll of the day. And the thing that has been updated since I have been there, so I haven't been able to utilize this new updated, in my opinion, much needed upgrade, is that it used to be like, if I had booked, if it's the afternoon and I had, let's say Peter Pan's flight booked for 4:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. and it was 2:30 and I wanted to see if there was a different time or maybe modify that one to a different attraction, because we're like, you know what, I think we're going to get out of here. We're not going to stay till 4 o'clock. Now you can go in and modify an attraction that you have booked. Whereas before, you might see something open that you want to get, and you're like, oh, I should get that. You would have to go cancel the old one and then go back and book the new one. And by that time, I never trusted it to be there. So now you can modify those individual modify the specific Lightning Lanes that you have booked. And that is a big deal. Now, why did I just correct myself from saying those individual, and I meant that in like the lower I individual case, is because to make this incredibly clear and easy to understand for newbies at Disney World, there's this thing called individual Lightning Lanes. Mm-hmm. And Molly, who is a, do you watch Molly on YouTube ever? She was with All Ears, and now she's with,
I actually just got really excited that I thought you were going to talk about your Molly, and I was like, what did she do?
A little bit of a Annie Fry trivia here. My Molly is my fourth kid, and she's my third girl, which means we had four girl names when you're doing first names and middle names. And we didn't have a name for our fourth daughter or fourth kid, who was another girl. And we were literally sitting watching Molly on YouTube when she was walking around, and we just enjoyed Molly. And I said, I just looked at my husband. I go, what about Molly? That's a nice name. He's like,
I love that.
Maybe. And like, we could never settle on it. We were in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And the nurse is writing up my name on the board, and they ask you, you know, like, what's your birthday? Are you going to breastfeed or bottle feed? And they're writing on there, like, do you have a name for the baby? And my husband and I looked at each other and we're like, do we? And he goes, I think Molly's okay. And so she's Molly. So we named our daughter Molly after a Disney World YouTuber. And we met Molly when we took Molly, our baby and family. We went for a summer trip, and I think my Molly was 7 weeks old, and we ran into Molly from.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, we took a picture with her.
Oh, I love that.
I think she started to tear up. I think I mean, she was like, that's crazy. I go, I just said to her, I was like, this is weird. But we named her after you. And we think you have a great name. And essentially, we have two other girls who you can see right here. And we just didn't have any family names left that we really wanted to go with. And we were watching you on YouTube. And we thought, you're fun. Why don't we name her Molly? So here, meet Molly. So I have a picture.
So what we're saying is, welcome to the family.
Yes. Congratulations. Totally not psycho or weird. I was like, I have a little bit of a public persona. I have a radio show in St. Louis, so I know how weird this totally is, and I'm kind of embarrassed about it, but I thought I should tell you since you're here.
I love
She was very flattered, and when she left, All Ears, which is where she, I guess, got her big start. And now she and her husband and their good friend run a YouTube channel called Mammoth Club, which I highly recommend you check out. I messaged her and just told her congratulations on Instagram. I'm like, hi, I'm the weirdo who met you in Animal Kingdom and named my baby after you.
Did she respond?
Yeah, she responded. She remembered it, too. Yeah. She might have been
lying. Well, I think that's something that you might not forget.
Yeah. Really great to hear from you. Remember that restraining order that we implemented.
So what we're saying is, if any listeners want to name their babies Annie or Erica,
we're all
please
for
tell
it.
Us.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to know.
We named Brayden. I mean, it was very, very similar to that story. Only it wasn't a Disney YouTuber.
It's just ridiculous. I bring that all up to say that the individual lightning lanes.
Oh, we were talking
she
about.
She refers to as fancy rides. And so I use the term fancy rides, but to give Molly the appropriate credit and the recommendation that you should check out Mammoth Club on YouTube, you should go do that. And I don't tell her that baby Molly's was high, because that would be totally creepy. It's just a really weird story. And like, I feel like I need to reiterate to people that, like, this is a Disney World podcast. You're listening to the Pixie Dust podcast, and I'm a huge Disney fan. I'm not, like, really that much of a fan. We just didn't have another name. It's like, I'm trying to tell people, I'm not as crazy as this makes me sound, but I know exactly how this sounds, and maybe I'm just that crazy. It is what it is. Regardless, fancy rides, as Molly from the Mammoth Club refers to them, they're the big marquee rides in each of the parks. Yeah. So, Erica, talk a little bit about individual lightning lanes, which is different than just lightning lanes.
Right.
And what those entail.
See, I come from a restaurant and hospitality background, so I call them a la carte. They are the a la carte items, because they are the attractions that you're going to book as one-offs. So they are fancy rides. So it's going to be the most popular ones, like Seven Dwarf Mine Train at Magic Kingdom and Rise of Resistance at Hollywood Studios. And I think the biggest confusion, which I don't know why, because they're all called lightning lanes, is that they work parallel to each other. So you can purchase your individual lightning lanes while you're booking your Genie Plus selections. So just because you're booking Thunder Mountain at 9 o'clock doesn't mean that you cannot grab a Seven Dwarf Mine Train at 2 o'clock. So that you can do them both at the same time. And it's just that security that you're going to see those big time items or the attractions, it's going to give you that opportunity to see them without standing in the queue.
So, and the other thing too is, now we're mentioning Mine Train at Magic Kingdom. Tron is going to be opening April 4th. So depending on when you're listening to this, Tron might already be open. Again, we're recording this in February of 2023. Tron will have that individual lightning lane availability. No standby for Tron. In Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, and Epcot, there's no standby for that. Rise of the Resistance in Hollywood Studio opened up with only a virtual queue, not the one that you could pay for, and there was no standby there. Now it's a purchased individual lightning lane and a standby, as I understand it. So that's kind of modified over time, which just goes to show you how these things can morph and evolve as the parks continue to add new attractions. And then Avatar, Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom is a purchased individual lightning lane or a standby line. So as far as the Rise of the Resistance ride in Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios and Avatar Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom, both of those you can ride if you're willing to stand in a standby line, which can be over 2 hours of standing in a line. And I've heard a lot of reports of people saying that if the lightning lane passes have a high sale date, that those sometimes the posted wait times, which a lot of people tend to suggest are maybe a little inflated, that sometimes they're not high enough and you actually end up waiting a little bit longer. So those, if you're looking at the constant time versus money balance of Disney World and you're thinking to yourself, Do I spend the extra, maybe it's $18 per person to ride Rise of the Resistance and avoid a 150 minute wait of standing in line? Should I do that? Does it matter if I have two people versus if I, you know, my family's a family of six? That makes a big difference as well. How do you weigh picking which ones you do pay for, don't pay for? How do you go about that process?
Yeah, so I feel like this is my standard response, but it depends on the family.
Yeah.
And it just, because it truly does, because if, you know, you are on a limited budget and the only way that you're going to be able to go to Disney is to just do Disney without doing Genie Plus, you're still going to have a great time, even if you have to stand in the queues.
A totally great time.
However, if you have the available budget and you have the, if you're able to do so, I highly recommend Genie, just because if you're already spending that much money on a vacation, I want you to get everything that you want to see out of that vacation. And if that means that you can see two attractions by standing in line all day, or you could see six attractions by using, you know, this paid service, I think it's well worth it. And, you know, we've mentioned over and over again that, you know, time is money, and how much are you willing to spend on your time. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a little bit amount of money. I mean, especially when you have a family of four or five, it adds up, and it adds up quick. And I totally understand that. However, you're going to be able to get back 2 hours of your vacation, 3 hours of your vacation, yeah, 4 hours, depending on how many you're able to book and how strategic you are with booking these. With Annie will, you know, give you all her tips and tricks because she's the master. But to me, to spend, you know, $60, $70, $100 to get back 4 hours of my trip to where I could see something else, that's worth it to me.
Or even sit for a second and pause and relax a little bit. I think for me, I definitely underestimated when I first, because I planned my first vacation by just obsessively researching on YouTube and reading. Eric and I didn't even know each other. We worked together at the radio station that I am on in St. Louis. And we just kind of found out in passing. I think I had gotten back from Disney World, or you had heard me talking about it on my radio show over the loudspeaker.
No, I know exactly what day it was. It was the day that they were playing Kiss the Girls over the loudspeaker. And we locked eyes. And I was like, we need to be best friends.
Yeah. I remember you saying, like, to me something like, I don't think you know what's just happened here. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I do either. I'm not that type of girl.
Like a restraining order?
And here we are making a podcast years and years later. Disney Plus, gosh dang it. Genie Plus for me. Like, does everything have to have such a close name? Come on, let's get innovative here. Like, let's expand our thoughts and creativity. Genie Plus, to me, is an incredible asset to a top-notch Disney vacation. And to me, we're going to do another episode down the road a little bit about saving money and discounts and how to, like, how my family, being Disney Vacation Club members and going sometimes three or four times a year differently, like, how do I make that financially possible? I mean, I'm a middle class family. I have a good job. My husband has a good job, but we have four kids and we have obligations and priorities that come before Disney World. How do we make that happen? There are a lot of ways that you can plan ahead and accommodate on a budget. So I really, truly value the dollar that you have to save and sacrifice to make any of this happen. However, when I was going as a mom, especially initially as the planner of the family, I've come to, like, really love the science behind it. It's just kind of part of my personality to plan and to know that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you go the whole time, it's very exhausting. It's very tiring. Disney has made your vacation very connected to your phone. And I'm the person on the vacation who is the one who has got my nose in my phone the entire time. So the more, if there are ways that I can, what I would refer to, plus up my vacation, where I get a little bit of exhale back into the flow of things, I'm doing it. If you have a split party where you have people who definitely want to ride all the rides, I want to do all the things, I want to go on all the roller coasters and the biggest thrills that I can. And then, like in my family, we have a toddler. We have I have two kids who aren't necessarily interested in doing a lot of the roller coasters. Some of them will do some rides, some of them won't do others, but we have a split party on a regular basis. It really stinks to split the party up because some people want to ride the really fun ride where the other folks have to go meander around while that other party goes and takes in a ride. And if you're standing in a line and it's 2 hours, that's 2 hours that you're spending away from each other on a family vacation. Maybe in some cases that might be a good thing, depending on how long you're on your vacation and how big your party is. But the idea that you are buying back your own time in a way that I think actually gives you the return on your investment with Genie Plus, I highly recommend figuring out a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
So I will talk a little bit now, unless you have anything else you want to add about that, about strategy. Is there anything else you wanted to add into the whole Genie Plus conversation?
No, but the only thing I did want to add, you know, there are other things that are not paid for. Like there are individual riders that, if you don't mind, you mentioned being separated from your party.
Yeah.
Some of the attractions do have individual riders where if you don't mind sitting by yourself, you can go, you know, in a separate lane, and the line is significantly shorter. And then we probably should talk about these in another episode, but they also have the rider swap that if you're going with a young baby, that you're able to, both adults are able to ride the attraction with like a younger kid while the other one stays with the baby. And then they also have the disability access pass that, you know, are for families that are traveling with somebody with some sort of spectrum child or someone with a disability that may not be able to stand in line. And those are also ways to see the attractions without waiting in the queues that are not paid services, that will not interfere with the Genie Plus or individual Lightning Lane. Those are just another option that Disney has provided to maximize and fit everybody's needs.
And the disability access service, I want to add in, you mentioned people who can't stand in lines. That's not just a physical thing either. There's on the autism spectrum, there are going to be children who cannot stand there. It's not a visible disability. Not all disabilities are, for sure. And you can go through the process to get that pass. And the way it works, you know, some people hear that and they think about how that system could be abused. You're still going to wait the amount of time that you would wait in that line. You just don't have to do it standing in line. So you get kind of a return. You go to an attraction, the wait's going to be 60 minutes. You're going to get a return time in those 60 minutes that allow you to wait in a way that accommodates the needs of your party, so that you're still doing, you know, the job of waiting in that line. You're just not having to physically be present in that line, which would create a circumstance that would not be tenable for that individual or individuals in your party. I think that's,
they actually have this where you can book them ahead of time now. So they do have it to where you can book it before you even leave. Yeah. And I also wanted to say, it's not just for children. So I had a gentleman that went that had Crohn's that, you know, it was going to be difficult for him to stand in a 2 hour line. And so he was able to get the DAS pass and work with that too.
Another great reason to have Erica on your side, because she's going to highlight these things. If you're having a conversation, you don't know that these things even exist, and if she hears your story and understands how you want to navigate the park, she can connect you with everything you need to make sure that you have the adequate accommodations that are necessary. That's a really good point. So let's talk a little bit about Genie Plus strategy. I have used Genie Plus multiple times since it has been released, and I have seen different things kind of grow throughout the planning process, and change and evolve. And I think that they're always kind of looking to evolve it. So as the recording of right now, which is February of 2023, it's possible that this could become outdated. And if it does become outdated, we will do another episode on it so that we can talk about the new structure. My next trip is May of 2023. And so I'll be trying out some of the newer things that have been added, like the modification, like I was just discussing before. So I think that if you consider Genie Plus as a way to reserve your space and to, you know, skip the lines, it's not just about that. That's not the only way to utilize the service to make your experience a better experience. Because if you think of it that way, then you're thinking, you know, I can rope drop and then I can get the Genie Plus Lightning Lane reservation for all the rides and I can do all the things. One of my favorite elements of being within the Genie Plus world, especially if I'm in, you know, if I have a diverse group of people who want to ride certain rides and some who don't, is the different ways that you can book and the different times that you can book these Genie Plus reservations. So there are three different instances where you can book your Genie Plus reservation. When you, as I understand it, Erica, is it still you can gain access, purchase access to Genie Plus midnight the day of your park reservation, correct?
Correct.
So you can stay up late or get up early anytime once midnight Eastern hits and you're going to Hollywood Studios that day. I'm going to use Hollywood Studios for my first example. You can say, okay, I'm going to buy Disney or Genie Plus for my whole party. And you can have that purchased as of midnight Eastern of the day you're going to the park. So you've secured it. You've paid it, let's say, for a family of four. It's $20 per person per day. That's a dynamic pricing element. It depends on the day, how busy they anticipate it. That price is going to fluctuate. Do you know what the range is? I feel like it's like 15 to 29 or something like that.
Yeah. And you know, it could always change again. Sure. Yeah, I think it says it starts at 15. So
it won't be cheaper than that.
Correct.
It's probably not going to go down. So you
safe bet.
Yeah. So if you have a family of four and it's as cheap as it's going to get, you're going to be paying $60 to utilize Genie Plus for your party of four that day. So you secure that sometime between midnight Eastern and 7 a.m. of your park day. You get to make your first Genie Plus reservation for the day at 7 a.m. And I mean 7 a.m.
Get that world clock out.
Yes. There's nothing greater than on your vacation setting your alarm for 6:50 in the morning. Yeah. I digress. However, this is the rules of the road, and you must abide by them should you choose to drive on said road. So you get up or wake up or roll over or whatever, and you know, okay, if you're going to Hollywood Studios, you're thinking, these are the attractions that I want to do. These are the lines I want to skip. And then you choose your first Lightning Lane. In Hollywood Studios right now, the most difficult Lightning Lane to get is generally Slinky Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so my practice is to get Slinky Dog. Whatever Slinky Dog is there, I grab it. And that's my Lightning Lane. That's my first 7 a.m. Lightning Lane. Now that you can modify your Lightning Lane reservations, you can kind of change where that goes. But for me, previously, whatever I get that Slinky Dog, that generally kind of sets the tone for me for the day, for the rest of what I'm going to book for that day. And this is where I talk about how Lightning Lane can really, and Genie Plus can really help you enjoy your vacation more, because a few things can happen that will allow you to book your next Lightning Lane. In the Fast Pass world, you got three Fast Passes to book ahead of time. And then once you use those three, you could book sequential one at a time after that. With Lightning Lanes, reservations, and Genie Plus, you just get to book one at a time. In order to book your next one, a few things can happen. Any one of these. The first one is you use your first Lightning Lane. Mm-hmm. So if you book a Slinky Dog and you happen to get it for 8:30 a.m. and that's when the park opens, then you can go walk into Hollywood Studios. You can walk into the Lightning Lane of Slinky Dog. You get on. As soon as you scan the second time your magic band, you get in there and you go to book your next Lightning Lane reservation. It won't work after you scan the first one, but they have two touch points specifically so people don't scan at the front or get in the standby line and then sneak into the Lightning Lane, which I guess happens enough that they put in two touch points. So there's a second one. So if you were to skip over to the Lightning Lane and not have had a Lightning Lane, they're going to bust you on it. It's going to be embarrassing, humiliating. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So once you scan the second time, you immediately get on your phone and you start scanning and looking and refreshing to get the Tower of Terror or the Rock and Roller Coaster or the Smuggler's Run or maybe Toy Story Mania because you're in Toy Story Land and that's how you want to roll. So that's one way that you can book your second Lightning Lane reservation through Genie Plus. The next way is that you missed your Lightning Lane reservation and you just didn't get there in time. Something came up and you didn't do it. If that happens and you have a legitimate reason, I would encourage you to go talk to the guest services about it, guest experiences and the blue umbrellas, because they will oftentimes figure out a way to make a magical moment for you to maybe reclaim what you lost, but there's definitely no guarantee. But once their window has passed for, if you booked it at 8:30, once it gets to be, I think you can technically be 5-10 minutes late or something like that. I don't know what the actual policy is. But if you booked it at 8:30 a.m. and you didn't get to the park till 10:30 because you've got a bratty toddler who wouldn't work with you that morning, not that I know anything about that, right? we both have toddlers that are like the exact same age. If it passes, then your window is now open and you can book a new one. So that's the second way. The third way is what I call the magical way. And that is to, this is in my opinion, how I maximize the benefit of having Genie Plus. What I like to do is stack my Genie Plus reservations. And what that means is at 7 a.m., you booked your first one. If you haven't used your first Genie Plus reservation within the first 2 hours that the park is open, after those 2 hours pass, say the park opens at 8:30 a.m., once 10:30 a.m. gets there, maybe your first Slinky Dog was at 3 p.m. that day, once 2 hours have passed since the park opened, you can go in there and book a second one. So you'll have two active Lightning Lane reservations, which means maybe now if you're going to ride Slinky Dog at 3 p.m., maybe you start working your way backwards, which is what I like to do. And these can also overlap. Fast passes couldn't overlap, correct? I don't think that they could.
No.
So that's a distinction that needs to be made between Genie Plus Lightning Lane reservations and the old Fast Pass way. Fast passes had an hour window and you had to stack them up and like you'd have three reservations, but it'd be over 3 hours time.
Mm-hmm.
With the Genie Plus Lightning Lane reservations, if you have a 3 p.m. Slinky Dog and you're still laying in bed at 10:30 a.m. because you did like an after hours party at Magic Kingdom the night before, or you just wanted to sleep in or whatever it is, you can get onto your phone at 10:30 a.m. You don't have to be in the park, and you can make a 2:15 p.m. reservation for Tower of Terror. So now you're thinking, okay, if I'm in the park at 2:15, I'm going to go walk on to Tower of Terror. And then get off, you know, go through the stand or go through the Lightning Lane, ride the ride, make my way to Slinky Dog at 3 p.m. That first Lightning Lane that you got, then you're just going to walk in there. So 10:30 a.m. is 2 hours past the open time. You can make that next one. If you decide to wait to go into the park because you want to eat lunch first, at 12:30, two more hours have passed and you haven't used your Lightning Lane, you're going to be able to make another one, which means maybe now you see, oh, Rock and Roller Coaster is going to be available at 1:45 and you're thinking, I'm going to head over there. Now you're going to walk into the park and you're going to have a Lightning Lane for Rock and Roller Coaster. You're going to have a Lightning Lane for Tower of Terror. You're going to have a Lightning Lane for Slinky Dog, and you can purchase the Rise of the Resistance individual Lightning Lane, which you probably need to purchase that morning of, because those, once they're sold out, they're sold out. Maybe you purchase, you know, you're going to be in Hollywood Studios and you think you're going to be in their evening. You just go in and the individual Lightning Lanes, you can pick a time for. That is the difference between the non-individual Lightning Lanes, which is everything else. So if you go in and you say, okay, Rise of the Resistance, maybe you have a dining reservation at Sci-Fi Diner for 5 p.m., and you're going to be on that side of the park. So you say, okay, let's get the Rise of the Resistance for after dinner. We'll get it for 6:30 p.m. That's an hour window, right? Also, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're going to be able to walk on to Rise of the Resistance between 6:30 and 7:30. Now you don't need to even get into the park until 1:45. But once you get into the park, I mean, you don't even have to get in at 1:45 because that Rock and Roller Coaster is a hour long window that you could arrive. So you can arrive at 2. You can get to Hollywood Studios at 2. You're walking on Rock and Roller Coaster. You're walking on Tower of Terror. You're walking on Slinky Dog. You're walking on Rise of the Resistance. And when you're sitting down after you've done, you know, the first three, not Rise of the Resistance, and you go to sit down and eat at Sci-Fi Diner, then you're looking to figure out how you can get on Smuggler's Run. And that one's still available, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. You figure out, you just refresh until you get one of those. Maybe those will be available. Toy Story Mania is another one that you're probably going to do. You can always get Swirling Saucers. If you can't get Swirling Saucers, that was a busy day.
Yeah.
and they have them for the show. So if you want to fill a gap of time, if I have 30 minutes before my next 2 hour window becomes available, I'll go see a show and I'll sit in the show. And once that time gets there, I'll refresh it. It's a nice way to pass time. You don't really have to the shows let herds of people in at a time. So you might stand in line, but not very long. But basically what you're doing there is you're creating a scenario where you are going to knock out a huge portion, the massive lines that you would normally have to wait in. You're going to knock out so much of Hollywood Studios' big marquee areas with virtually no time spent in line. And you're going to be able to take that first half of your day, sleep in, go to the pool, go visit a different park if you want to, and make all those lightning lanes after 2 p.m. after the park hopping opens. If you have a park hop or an annual pass, you can go somewhere else and rope drop Animal Kingdom and purchase the individual lightning lane for Avatar Flight of Passage and rope drop the safari and walk around the Animal Kingdom and enjoy that, and then take a nice easy ride over to Hollywood Studios, and it's all served up for you. Mm-hmm. That to me buys me so much relaxation and time and flexibility mm-hmm. that on the first with fast passes, and I was good at fast passes and that system when it happened, but yeah. I feel like you can do much more with yeah. Genie Plus, and you when you utilize it in the way that fits you best, you can really get a lot out of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're in Magic Kingdom, where there are a ton of attractions, Hollywood Studios, you're going to... I have been able to do all the rides at Hollywood Studio through Genie Plus, and I've heard people complain that they can't. And sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe you're not doing it right, or yeah. maybe it was just super busy that day. But Magic Kingdom, I mean, it's almost impossible to ride all the rides in Magic Kingdom yeah. in a day. I've never been able to do it. We've never really tried. But at Magic Kingdom, it's probably going to be more of a... get there, use it, book another, book another, book another, as opposed to the stacking, just because of the sheer volume of attractions yeah. at Magic Kingdom. There are people who will advise you that Lightning Lanes at Epcot, Genie Plus at Epcot's not worth it. I don't think that's true. I think that Genie Plus at Epcot is a great stacking situation, where maybe you rope drop Hollywood Studios and then stack over at Epcot, because then you just end up spending less time there. Time right. is money.
So. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that people, you know, they talk so down on Epcot, and I love it. But, like, you have Frozen and Remy and Test Track and, you know,
Guardians.
Soarin and Guardians. I yeah. mean, you know, there's so
Spaceship
many.
Earth, which is the ride that is in the Epcot ball. A lot of people don't understand that there's a ride in there if you're a yeah. first-timer. But there are Epcot has revived itself in many ways with yeah. the addition of Remy's and Guardians of the Galaxy that I do think, but I mean, like, if you want to ride those rides and you think, well, the lines aren't that long to begin with, I don't care if the line is 40 minutes long. If I can go through it in 5 minutes, I want 100%. Those, I want those 35 minutes to me. That's yeah. a snack or a drink yeah. or a nap. I'll take any of those things in that
yeah.
order.
Yeah.
So I think that to me, it's worth it. And the dynamic pricing that goes along with it can be pretty steep. And, you know, yeah. if I'm looking at some of these days over like the Christmas holiday, and I think I saw it was $29 or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I couldn't do that for my family. And, yeah. but I just don't go at those times. That's right. just kind of the way that I work things in.
Yeah.
So, as far as, let's see here, what do I have written down? The pricing we talked about, Can you talk a little bit? I know that there aren't specific numbers and they're always subject to change, but yeah. the cost of the individual lightning lanes.
Yeah, it's going to be, they changed over the new park pricing too, to where now it is based on peak season. So the individual lightning lanes kind of go along that same schedule. So when you see the park tickets kind of spike, you're going to expect the individual lightning lanes to spike as well.
Which
so
are the fancy rides that you can reserve individual.
The fancy a la carte. So I mean, you know, it could be anywhere from $7. I was just kind of flipping through while we were sitting here, and I saw somebody say something about they couldn't again. Disney people have lots of opinions, as I'm saying this,
and we are Disney people with opinions on Disney people. So
what does that make us?
Disney people.
I tell you though, there's something real special about Disney adults, because look at how fun we are.
and you know what? I was just explaining to someone, I mean, literally earlier this week, how I'm not a capital D, capital A Disney adult. I was like clarifying, you are. I mean, we represent all grown people who go to Disney.
That is actually very true.
And while I happen to be an adult who loves Disney, I would not qualify myself as that. And I don't think that the Disney adults of the world would have me.
I'm just saying, what do you have on right now?
You've got a spirit jersey.
Beautiful spirit jersey.
That looks like it came from the 80s. I'm pretty happy about it.
It's incredible. I have a tendency to call all jerseys Spirit jerseys because I'm like, it's Spirit, right? Like, so sure. Like, if you even have like a Cardinals,
like a jersey, Cardinals, like, St. Louis Cardinals jersey, like, oh, I love your Spirit jersey. Spirit, and you're like, that's jersey. Not what that is.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all. But anyway, I read something that said that they wouldn't be surprised if it went up to $30 in 2023. And it's a possibility. I mean, it really could. So, and normally I don't pass along the things I read in blogs because they can vary. But that one, I mean, it really could. We really have no idea what the pricing is, mm-hmm. you know, from day to day, just based on what the pricing structure of the tickets are. So, you know, it could be $7. It could apparently be $30, but, when you work with an agent, we will have that information. And I always have a planning call with my families before they go, and we customize an itinerary for them to maximize their time within the park. So before you go, I'm going to give you a PDF of something that some people like to print out and keep in their backpack, or you can pull up on your phone, and it's going to have, you know, everything that we discussed. It's going to have suggestions for where to eat based on what you said your family liked. It's going to be, you know, what type of vacation that you want to have. So that's something that we give all of the guests that book with us. And that's just, you know, part of our service. But, you know, it really just depends on the family, you know, how you want to do your vacation, what you want to get out of it. And then we certainly do not expect you to remember everything that we go over. So, you know, come armed with some AirPods and the Pixie Dust podcast and our itinerary, and you'll be good.
Fantastic. What a good plug. I think that it's important, as you mentioned too, that it's purchased per person per day.
Yeah.
And if it's not doable, and I could totally understand, like, yeah, I have a family of six people, one of them is a toddler, but if still five is quite a bit, you add in a couple grandparents and that's steep. But you can figure out ways to, maybe you rope drop one day and you try to zig while everybody else is zagging out there, and so you go to a park that's going to maybe be a little bit less crowded and you rope drop it, so you do different things and you don't have to pay the extra cost. Or maybe you don't do Genie Plus, but you do the individual lightning lanes for the two or three people in your party who want to ride that, and then you just rope drop the rest of the stuff, and then you just have an earlier day back at the resort, and then you decide, no, another day we're going to do Genie Plus, like I was saying about, you know, the stacking Hollywood Studios, and you pair it with a rope drop if you want to go all out that day and try to knock out a ton in one day versus, you know, having a resort day the next day to recoup or recover a little bit. But you don't have to think about this. It is per person that's going to participate in it per day, but it might make sense to say, nope, we're going to do this one day or 2 days of our 6 day trip, mm-hmm. and make sure that we utilize it to get to some of those really high marquee rides. And I have done that with family when we had my brother, his two kids are both younger than my, at the time, well, not the youngest, but younger than my third. And they're not going to ride all those big rides. They couldn't even get on them. They were too small to do that. So we did a situation where we bought Genie Plus for, I think it was my husband, myself, my son, and then my mom. And my dad stayed back, and my other daughter stayed back, and those kids stayed back, and my brother went with us as well. And so it was just the group of people who wanted to ride the roller coasters and stuff. We did Genie Plus. We rope dropped. So we rope dropped, and if I'm saying rope drop and you don't understand what that means you get to the park. If the park opens at 8 a.m., if Magic Kingdom opens at 8 a.m., they will often start letting people into the park at 7:30 a.m., maybe even earlier. And you can kind of walk around Main Street and take in the park, but the rides aren't operating yet. They will have a literal rope that they have keeping you from getting into where the attractions are, and they will move that rope back towards the attractions, and then they will drop that rope, and then you can go in. And sometimes if you rope drop, the park opens at 8, they might let you in at 7:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. They might let you in at 7:50 a.m. They might let you in at 8 a.m. You never know. But you can get there early and beat a lot of the crowds and essentially walk on those big rides. Mm-hmm. That group, the more thrill-seeking folks who qualified first and foremost to get on the rides and wanted to do them, we bought Genie Plus, but I didn't buy it for my other three girls because they weren't going to ride those rides, and it wouldn't have been great for them to do that. And then the rest of the crew came and joined us later in the day. So the little kids got to sleep in and get their rest and have a nice breakfast back at the resort. And then they joined us. And then we got into like the Dumbo line and we stood in the Dumbo line. And that's much more doable than standing in a 45-minute Space Mountain ride line or something like that. So again, these are great ways that you can use the system, not overpay for it, because you don't want to pay for it for people who aren't going to utilize it, but you can use the system to improve your time spent on your vacation so you get the most out of it, but also so that you're watching your dollar and making sure that you're not just spending money to spend money. But if you're in that position, congratulations.
Right.
I am envious of you. Just stay tuned for the penny pinching, how do you save money episode, because I know many tricks. And if you know them, yeah, if you know tricks that I don't know, please share them with me. I love to learn. For sure.
Absolutely.
So I think the final question, Erica, that I'll ask you and then I'll answer myself is Genie Plus worth it?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I say this depends on the family, but in my opinion, as a Disney adult, I do say that. And I am going to say something that I probably, it's going to knock down my Main Street cred a little bit. So I should probably be cautious of what I say on our podcast. I have never rope drop in my entire Disney
the road
life.
Top.
Yeah. I am not the rope top trop. Rope drop gal. And I've never done it, but I have suggested it to almost every family that goes, because that's the type of vacation that they want to have. So for me, Genie Plus is the best thing that ever happened to me, because I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock on my vacation to get the kids ready and have breakfast and to get it rope drop. I want to pay $35 to go and skip the line and sleep in and not have to deal with it. So, that's why when I say that, you know, I have conversations with my family to see what type of vacation that they want to have. And I'd say 9 out of 10 times, I find that Genie Plus is worth it. Whether you want to get up and do the rope drop and do all the things, it's going to be beneficial for you, because you're going to be able to do and see more. And more people like me that want to have maybe a little more relaxed vacation and sleep in, and it's going to allow me to do and see more, because I'm going to go during the afternoon, the peak time of the parks, and I'm going to skip the lines as well. So they really did make it to where it is advantageous for anybody, no matter how you want to do your vacation, to use Disney Plus. You did it. To me.
I know.
It's Genie Plus.
Genie Plus. Phenomenal cosmic powers in your little bitty palm walking around Magic Kingdom.
Disney Plus.
Is Genie Plus worth it? I think it is worth it. And I think that the number one way to make it not worth it is to not study up on it before you go. Because if you pay that kind of money and you don't know how to use it, you're going to feel like this was totally not worth it. And that's, to me, the biggest complaint that I see in the Disney World Facebook groups and stuff that I'm in are from people who, as I'm reading their anecdote as to how they utilize Genie Plus and what they got done, it's clear to me that they don't know how to utilize it and maximize it.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for those people, because I could see how you'd be like, this was an incredible waste of money. Like, I got on 2 rides and one of them was as a Small World. Like, why did I spend money to skip lines for this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if you do utilize it, if you do understand, like I was talking about the 2-hour rule, which is you know, you get up at 7 a.m. and you book the first one, but then 2 hours after whichever park you're at is open, you can book another one. And then 2 hours after that, you can book another one. I mean, I'm talking like set alarms on your phone to go off 2 minutes before you can do it, so you're ready and ready to go. If you understand the way it works, it is incredibly worth it. And I don't want any of you to use it when I am on vacation so that it's not crowded. Because I want to use it then. That's a selfish thing to say. But I'd use it every time I go. And if there will be times where my husband and I will be like, you know what? I don't think we need to use Genie Plus this day. We're not gonna do it. And then we always do it. Every time. Like, if we're going into the park, it's like, come on, let's do it. You go and you see, you're going to go stand in line for Dumbo for 25 minutes. But if you had a lightning lane, you'd walk on. I'm like, I want to walk on it. I don't want to stand in that line. And then you get an extra few things. It includes, this is something we didn't mention, lightning lanes include certain character meet and greets. So if you want to meet Mickey and Minnie on Main Street in Magic Kingdom, that is a very highly sought after lightning lane, because that line gets long because people want to meet it. And you want to skip that line. You want to meet Tinkerbell. You want to meet the princesses. You want to meet Star Wars characters. You want to meet Olaf. You want to meet, all of these different characters that are available for you throughout the park. There you can meet Mickey and Minnie. They get around fast, folks. Yeah. They go from park to park. You can meet them almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. Skipping the line is wonderful.
Yeah.
I am here for it. So I would say A+.
Yeah.
Other than the price, if Disney, if you're listening, lower it. But not for everybody when I'm there.
For everybody that Winnie and Erica.
I hate letting y'all in these secrets, because you're going to go, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I'm glad I listened to the Pixie Dust podcast. And then you're going to go on vacation when I'm there, and then it's going to be more crowded.
You know what? I really hope that the Pixie Dust podcast, we are going to speak this into reality right now, that someday we are going to be so big that we could fill... lightning lanes.
Sure. I have high aspirations.
I do too, man.
This is what I want to speak into existence. Yes. I want to speak into existence an Erica and Annie Pixie Dust podcast weekend to Disney World. It's going to be a 4-day weekend, because there are going to be 2 travel days
from
St. Louis, where we're from. Mm-hmm. One day, probably the first day, is going to be my day to plan. And you got to do Disney the way I do it.
Oh my God, Annie.
And then the next day is, because it has to be in this order, is going to be your day to plan.
And we're going to move to the beach club. And we are going to stay. And this may be the best idea that you have ever had. I am like, this is.
I need to know if you can hang.
I mean,
need to know if I can relax.
Are you going to be?
Just both ways.
I'll get that orange cello. We'll be good to go.
I got it in my hand right now.
Yeah, I don't know that I can't hang. Maybe I'll do, I've seen some TikToks where it's like, you know, you're preparing for Disney World, like on the treadmill and like carrying
with the Rocky Balboa song in the background. Yeah.
It's going to be me preparing to do Disney World Annie's way. I'm going to have to do like a couch to 5K.
Yeah. Pixie Dust podcast. We've got all the bases covered. Erica, if people are interested in booking a vacation with you or just in general asking questions, I mean, folks, Erica is the most helpful person you're ever going to talk to with like absolutely no pressure whatsoever to reach out to her. What's the best way for folks to do it?
Email me at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com. Or contact us on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. Send a message through there, and we both will get it and enjoy that way.
Yeah. And I say, Erica, you need to check the messages. You need to look there. Unless you just ask any general questions, I might answer those as well. It's the Pixie Dust Podcast on Facebook. Please go like our page there. And we appreciate you being with us. Please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Share it with people who you might be thinking about taking a Disney World trip with. And if you have feedback on this episode or episodes you'd like for us to do, you can send us a message on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page as well. Erica, thank you. Until next time.
Thanks.